NPR.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and I am joined by our editor, Patty Hirsch. And today, you've brought us a bell, Patty. care to explain? Is this a somber ask? Can I ask for whom the bell tolls?
Yes, you can. The bell tolls, Stacey, for Brexit. It tolls for Britain's membership of the European Union, a 47-year partnership that ends tonight.
Oh, it tolls for thee, kind of.
Well, not for me.
Is it like church bells? Like, what bells are we talking about?
Well, I mean, some people will be ringing bells across the UK, those who welcome the idea that, this partnership with the European Union is now over in its old form, and that a new form will arise like a phoenix from the ashes, that the UK will be created independent, strong, and able to negotiate a much better deal with the European Union than it had before.
And I imagine other people will be going into church to pray that the economic impact is not negative.
Yes, indeed. Some people will be interpreting those bells as a death knell. But, you know, who knows? I mean, this is not going to happen overnight, right? This separation between the UK and Europe is not going to happen overnight. I mean, it's formally over tonight, but they've got till December the 31st of this year to figure out what the trade relationship's going to look like.
And I know that for a long time now, and probably especially as the bells are tolling tonight, businesses all over Europe are going to be wondering, like, what exactly this deal is going to end up looking like. Like,
yep.
Will there be tariffs? Mm-hmm. If so, what will the tariffs be on? How much will the UK need to follow EU regulations? Will there be rules about, like, seaports and airports and, you know, the whole multitude of other things that dealmakers will have to decide on in the coming year?
Indeed. And small businesses are particularly worried about this stuff because, you see, they generally don't have the resources that large firms have. So that makes it harder for them to make contingency plans in the event that things don't work out. So I was very interested in this, and I called a small business in the UK. It's called Mylands Paints in London.
With the oldest owned and managed paints manufacturer in the world, we think. We keep looking for older companies, but certainly in the UK and Europe.
Wow.
Dominic Myland, managing director of Mylands. It's a very cool company. Its paints are used in the film business. If you've ever watched a Harry Potter movie or an episode of Game of Thrones, I know you have. You'll have seen sets decorated with Mylands paints. Also, Downton Abbey.
Haven't they done?
So my conversation with Dominic Myland after the break.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Salesforce, a customer relationship management solution committed to helping you deliver the personalized experiences that customers want. Salesforce, bringing companies and customers together. Visit salesforce.com/learn more. Support also comes from Fundrise, innovating the way people can invest in real estate. Fundrise makes it simple to build a portfolio of high-quality real estate affordably. Visit fundrise.com/indicator and get your first 6 months of advisory fees waived.
Dominic Myland, managing director of Mylands. On this Brexit eve, may I ask you how you're feeling about Brexit?
I can see the benefits of both sides. I'm pleased that the deadlock has been broken. I'm pleased that the Conservative Party here has got a good majority and that can get the thing moving, because it's been a very painful 3 years, since the referendum.
Okay. And what about for your business? I mean, how do you feel about it from a professional point of view?
I mean, it's been a rocky ride, because when the referendum first happened and sterling crashed a bit, we got sort of punished a little bit without realising it by some of the raw material suppliers who sort of put their prices up as well as the currency crashing. And it was difficult to stay on top of that during that process. I think the Brits, we were sort of slightly more pragmatic and think, well, everything will be okay and it'll sort itself out. Whereas partners in Europe have been much more nervous, saying, oh, yeah, Brexit's a disaster. We won't be able to buy your product. You'll never get anything here. But I think once it all settles down, hopefully pending a good trade agreement, I think they'll, you know, I don't think things will change that greatly, particularly.
So, I mean, what you mentioned, the trade agreements, which clearly they're going to be negotiating. I mean, what are your expectations for a good trade agreement with Europe?
I mean, the biggie, which has always been the biggie since the beginning, is frictionless trade. I mean, that's really the whole crux of the whole thing. It's political union aside, it's, you know, everyone wants frictionless trade.
So no tariffs, you know, relatively easy ability to get goods across, back and forth across borders, etc.
Yeah, without paperwork. You know, because as a small business, we work in places like China and Russia, where we know that that paperwork and tariffs and import export is really tough to do. It's a separate part of any business. You know, I talk to customers and friends in Switzerland, and they sort of say to me, hey, it'll all be fine. You know, we've been negotiating this with the EU for years, and they do joke that we'll never get a good as deal as they've got. But they say that it'll take longer than you think, but it'll smooth over in the end. Don't worry.
I've been hearing a lot about small and medium-sized enterprises in the UK kind of languishing when it comes to this stuff, because up until the vote, people, you know, there was some expectation perhaps that maybe there might be another referendum and maybe Brexit won't happen at all. And a lot of people had sort of not done anything to prepare. How much preparation had you done on the run-up to that actual vote?
What we'd done is we'd basically stocked key ingredients or key raw materials that we needed to manufacture, and then otherwise worked with supply chain to make sure that they carried adequate stocks. But there wasn't really that much you could do. You can't buy endless, you know, quantities of raw materials. It just doesn't work in a business. So we had to sort of slightly keep our fingers crossed and hope that a pragmatic solution, would have rolled out in the end.
And presumably you were talking constantly to your partners in Europe to kind of manage, at least to contingency plan for whatever might happen.
Yes. Yeah. We have something lined up for the later on this year, should the talks not go well. Because the chaotic part is going to be if the ports block up and a deal isn't done. But I feel strongly that some sort of deal will be worked out.
Well, you seem remarkably unintimidated by this, Dominic, I must say.
I don't know. I should be more nervous about it, but I always think that there's a pragmatic solution, you know, and people, surely common sense will prevail at the end of the day. I hope there's maybe a slightly optimistic attitude to it. But that's just my personal viewpoint on it.
I think optimism is a very good thing. I have no issue with optimism at all. Do you think that most other small and medium, like small business owners, share your optimism, or do you think that there's more of a sense of dread about this?
I think there's a huge relief. I mean, the whole mood changed after the election completely. I mean, you know, if someone was a Remainer and someone was a Brexiteer and they had a conversation before the election, it was very tense in most cases. But post the election, I think even the most hardened Remainers have sort of resigned themselves to the fact that it's done, it's going to happen, let's just get on with it. And, you know, if it all goes wrong in the future, we could always ask to rejoin again, couldn't we, I guess?
I guess, yes. I mean, it took Britain three times to get in the first place, right? So it might be a little bit more of a barrier there.
That was Charles de Gaulle's time, but, you know, I'm sure now he's long gone. I mean, I suppose if someone's prepared to put money into the club, they'll accept your membership, but, you know, within reason.
So today is a big day on the calendar, you know, but it's been 3 years in the making, and there's another year, you know, of a period before the exit actually happens and the trade agreement is struck. How much difference does this day actually make to people?
Well, it seems to me there's a lot of people going to be in central London today celebrating, and I'm very close to central London, and I'm not going to bother attending it. It really, you know, I this sort of sense personally that we don't want to feel like we're rubbing people's noses in it. It's just done. I think it's maybe the best choice on balance for the UK. And let's just move on and get on with life, you know.
Dominic, thank you very much indeed for joining me. I really appreciate you giving me a little bit of your time.
Most welcome. Great to talk to you. Thank you.
This episode was produced by Darius Rafieyan, fact-checked by Brittany Cronin, edited by Patty Hirsch, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.